court that they represent Mr. Eduardo Sosa. Your Honors, in this case, the officers did not have reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle in question that Mr. Sosa was driving. Starting with one of the factors that they mentioned, they referred to the fact that it was shift change. And as you can see in the briefs, they don't define what the shift change time is. They indicate the shift change is a time when more alien smuggling or more offenses occur. One of the officers indicates that he considers the shift change to be from 3:30 to 4:30. That's Agent Dorsey. And that's on page 84 of the excerpt of record. So that's a 1 hour gap.
Did this occur at like 4 o'clock though in that gap?
Yes, it did. But they're using the fact that this time is greater. Now that's Agent Dorsey. Agent Verdugo, on the other hand, speaks also of shift change. When he says it begins at 2 o'clock, and it's either 6 or 7. So he expands the time that they consider shift change. And so one of the reasons that I think they don't carry your burden is they say shift change is when these things happen, and that this 3:30 time frame falls within the shift change time. But depending on who you ask, that's either a 3 hour window per day, or in this case, a 15 hour window per day, according to Agent Verdugo's testimony.
But didn't the Supreme Court say, didn't they say that because you're not really a permissible factor to consider in their reasonable decision?
They did, Your Honor, but I don't think that anyone, at least from what I remember of our visa, there was no argument as to what shift change was, what the time frame was. And I tried to get shift change time in this case. And the answers I received, and they're in the record, are anywhere from a 3 hour time frame during one day or a 15 hour time day gap, according to Agent Verdugo. So you think that's the reason
I saw the positions?
Excuse me?
How did you get these answers?
This is the motion to suppress hearing.
This was the position, you took the position of the
agents? Yes, of the agents, yes.
So then something happens afterwards, you're still questioning them about what shift change means?
Correct.
Who filled out the declaration on this point? I'm sorry, the shift change, who made the initial statement about shift change?
I believe both Agent Dorsey testified first. He was the first one to mention it at the deposition. Agent Verdugo also mentioned it. I inquired as to what they meant when they said shift change, and those are the answers I received. I also believe, at the end of the transcript, I asked if they had any statistics, but they didn't. So I was trying to figure out what they meant by shift change, and they have these varying answers, and I think that's the reason that the court, not that the court didn't take it into account, because under Visu, the court has to look at all the factors, put them together, and weigh it. I just think the weight is less than when they use this term shift change, and frankly, they don't know what each other means.
So this was presented to the district court. The district court made a decision on it. Why don't we defer to the district court on that? I mean, I realize there's sort of conflict, and you get conflicts among the witnesses all the time. This is why we have the district judge to sort these things out. And this actually happened right in the sweet spot of both agents testified, right? This wasn't like an outlier of time.
That's right, Your Honor. Well, and I think the court should give it some weight, and I think the district court just gave it too much weight. So I don't think we're arguing as to whether or not the court should take it into account. Okay. We're just arguing over the weight it should be given. Another item, and this is important, I think the court needs to look at this closely too. One of the things the officers testified gave them a reason to stop was that the driver in this case was driving below the speed limit. And he indicated that people do that to try to avoid being, I guess, the words they used was being more discreet around law enforcement. And this was Agent Dorsey again.
And yeah, a lot of these shots can be argued both ways. You know, they sped, they went too slow, they looked at us, they didn't look at us. You know, so all these things can be argued both ways. But, what we had here is we had a call from an officer, off-duty officer, who saw something that apparently looks somewhat suspicious down an alley. Looking
17 years, those are the numbers higher. Over a million people in the state are of Hispanic descent. It's probably close to 2 million now. And so you can't take that information and use that for your reasonable suspicion rubric here.
How do we know that he wouldn't have thought that, though? Was there a specific question asked of him about that? Because, I mean, he did mention that they were Hispanic, but he also was looking at these people with a cell phone and they're looking around and a car comes. I mean, it does seem like suspicious activity. Maybe he would have thought it was suspicious if they weren't Hispanic.
From my memory, there was no question asked about that.
So how can we assume, as the appellate court, that this was a race-based, that the whole thing was race-based?
Well, I wouldn't say it's all race-based, but I would say that based on the fact that is the first thing he mentions in the call, the first thing he mentions in the deposition, that it was something that was a basis for him to make the call, in addition to a basis for the other officers to make the stop. And if I can get back just briefly to the point I was making about the more discreet or less discreet, the reason I wanted to bring that up is if you look at it, the vehicle that stopped them wasn't marked. That is, Mr. Sosa didn't know that there was a police vehicle behind him. And so I think for the officers to say, well, he's driving slow, and that gave me reason to stop him because he's trying to be
one. Mr. Sosa is not smart enough to know there are unmarked police vehicles around.
I think
we all live in fear of those things on the highway, you know. So in the car, you look in your rear view, there's no light up above, but maybe he's unmarked, so
I'm going basically to what way to give to what the officers are saying, because, you know, they say certain things such as, you try to be more discreet. And besides the driving 5 to 10 miles per hour below the speed limit, what they failed to mention, even though they talk about this, is that this car was actually a car that was not discreet at all. Not discreet at all. It's an all 90s Cavalier with considered gold, except for the front that's black. It's got a black hood and black sides. It's kind of a two-tone. It's a car that stands out, not something that's discreet. And so they don't mention it because it doesn't help their position. But I think the court should take into account, if you're looking at all these items, that in fact there are some things that show that this individual was not trying to blend in or anything of the sort. And I'll reserve the remaining time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Marcus with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Tucson, and we have the United States. The defendant's argument is premised on the type of argument that the Supreme Court said was improper in the Arvizo case, and that is trying to take each individual item and come up with an excuse for it or an explanation for it. The Supreme Court emphasized that in Arvizo, you've got to look at the totality of the circumstances. And to do that in this case, this certainly was reasonable suspicion to stop the vehicle. For example, the defendant talked about the shift change. Regardless, the testimony was clear at the suppression hearing that the same shift change was actually at 4 o'clock. This occurred at 3:30. However, how the agents define what shift change parameters are, this is kind of right in the heartland of the shift change, and they explain why things happen in shift change, why criminals act during shift change, because that's when the officers are basically going back and switching positions and stuff. So that certainly supported it. Slower than the speed limit, that's another factor he wanted to argue. He did emphasize it's an unmarked car. I would say that actually works in the government's favor. I think most people have the reaction, they see a marked law enforcement vehicle, they slow down. You wouldn't have that same situation with an unmarked vehicle. So, again, that's a factor. It's not a major factor.
Is speed basically a factor you can use in every case, though? Because if they're going too fast, you'll say they're going too fast. If they're going too slow, they're going too slow. It's almost impossible to avoid that being a factor.
And you just stay right on the speed limit. You're saying just stay right
on the speed limit. Probably
very suspicious. I think it depends on the circumstances of what's going on. Like I said, I think people see a mark in this vehicle, I think the tendency is, especially if they're exceeding the speed limit at that point, to slow down to the speed limit. I'm not sure you would have that same reaction
really have an objection to Tucson or in Arizona, the people slow down below the same speed limit otherwise.
But you, I mean, you think, I mean, I think your argument is you're driving slowly so that no one pulls you over for speeding, but if they were speeding, you'd probably say they were racing away. So it does seem like speed is a difficult one.
I think, again, in the context of it's an unmarked vehicle, the driving below the speed limit so they don't get pulled over, don't give the police officer a traffic stop reason to pull them over. And considering the fact that the agents in this case were in an unmarked vehicle, I think it's a factor. Certainly the court could consider it. Under the totality of the circumstances, it's not the only factor by far. I mean, you've got what the agent who was going home observed going on in the alley, again, 2.5 blocks from the border, in an area that the other agent satisfied was a high smuggling area, basically. Loading up in an alley that is not used by vehicles for the most part, other than utility type trucks. So, and all of that.
But there's nothing on the record about why they were driving slower.
No, there isn't.
And it could have been road conditions. I mean, this was a not well traveled road, right?
I believe it was state road. And I don't, again, I think the court. Supreme Court has emphasized that you can, in the.
You have to look at the totality of the circumstances.
Exactly, and you don't pick apart each individual factor. You've got to look at it in the totality, kind of like, because it kind of like it's a funnel. That, you know, you get each fact adds a narrower and narrower circumstance. So at the bottom, you have only a very few vehicles that would meet that description that would justify a stop. And the vehicles that meet that description, there is a reasonable suspicion to defer for investigation. And you certainly have that here. They were also using a route that avoids a checkpoint. That was a key factor to the agents. So if you look at all of the factors, there was certainly reasonable suspicion to stop this vehicle. Unless the court has any questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, the road that he was stopped on is State Road 80. If you ever look at a map of Southern Arizona, State Road 80 basically brings together two rural towns or rural areas. They're not cities. I mean, they are cities, but they're relatively small cities. One side is the Naco Bisbee area, and that's more or less where the stop occurred. The other town that is the other side of Route 80, and that stretch is Douglas. So it is a well-traveled road. I know there's questions about the checkpoint. It is a heavily traveled road because it's basically the way in and out of Douglas is who's going to Douglas. So for that reason, I think the fact that he was driving east instead of west, I don't think it adds a lot to it. As Judge Bennett mentioned, Judge Bennett said that this wasn't well-traveled. It is relatively well-traveled because it is the main connection point between these two cities.
I guess it's well traveled if you want to avoid the checkpoint.
Or
if you want to go to Douglas.
Douglas already got something to make this nice time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Casey. How are you, Mr. Smith?